Friday, 6 May 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. And we're in 1 John chapter 4 as we're looking at our wonderful God of love and the love of God and how our lives should manifest that precious love. So if you have been with us, you know that we're in verse 19 now of 1 John in chapter 4, where we read this tremendous statement, we love him because he first loved us. John 3:16 is evidence of this love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear friend, a lot of questions have been asked as to why could God love us so. All I can say, it's his nature. God is love, and if we have any love in our heart, that true love has had to come from the Lord. We're not speaking about brotherly love, or certainly we're not speaking about that which is attractive to the flesh, but that which is holy and godly, the love of God. A songwriter wrote this, "Love sent my Savior to die in my stead. Why should he love me so? Meekly to Calvary's cross he was led. Why should he love me so? Oh, how he agonized there in my place. Why should he love me so? Nothing withholding my sin to efface. Why should he love me so?" And then the chorus, "Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so?" I don't know the answer to that. That is in the very heart of God itself, a love that would cause him to condescend, to become man, for that's who Jesus Christ is. He is very God, a very God. The angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And to think that God would leave his throne and come down in the presence of his Son, to be born of a virgin, to live in the squalor that he lived in, and then to die the terrible death that he died. I was just reading in my devotions this morning again, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he went through. Oh, my sakes, dear friend, to think of how the Son of God suffered. He didn't suffer for his own sin, for he had no sin. It was my sin and your sin that he was suffering for. And even the old hardened soldiers, after they had heard him cry out those wonderful words, "It is finished," and the earth quaked, and the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Oh, even the old hardened soldier, the centurion, had to say, truly, this was the Son of God. And indeed, he was and he is the Son of God. And this wonderful love that he has given to us, we love him because he first loved us. And so let's push aside any pride, any boasting that we have as far as any love in our life and our heart is concerned, because all we have is what he has given us, and we're simply giving back to him that which he has given to us. Now in verse 20, "If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar." Boy, that would stop a lot of folks in their tracks, would it not? For how many times do you hear people, they're ready to testify, "Oh yes, I'm saved. Well, how about so-and-so? Man, no, I despise him. I hate him." Listen, dear friend, these two things cannot occupy the same heart. We cannot have the love of God in our heart and hatred for our brother. They do not coexist in the same heart. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" And I could almost hear some folks saying right now, "Preacher, you don't know my brother. You don't know what a rascal he is." No, I don't, but God does. I do know the experience that I had with my older brother and with my younger brother as well. And thank God, let me say this real quickly, that two great men, my older brother and my younger brother. But before either one of them was saved, my older brother He had a very, very wicked life. He had really gone downhill. And I was burdened for him, praying for him, had a lot of people praying for him. And because of brevity, I'll shorten this, but let me say this, that God in his marvelous grace reached his heart and wonderfully saved him. I mean, he wonderfully saved him. And my brother told me after he got saved, he said, you know, he said, before I got saved, he said, I hated you. He said, and by the way, my brother's home had broken up. He'd gone back to live with our dear parents. And he said, when I heard that you were coming home, I would stay out late enough at night to know that you were in bed, and I'd get up and leave before you'd get up the next morning. But one day, he was in the bed sick, and God gave me a marvelous opportunity to speak to him, and the Spirit of God broke his heart and marvelously saved him, and I thank God for it. And let me say this, that after he got saved, that gap was closed completely. Oh, how close my dear brother Doug and I were. And now my dear brother Stan and I as well. My brother Stan, faithful pastor of God's Word, pastor of the Community Baptist Church as of this time and has been for many, many years, Community Baptist Church over in Aden. And I sure thank the Lord for him that he is still with us. Our brother Doug is in heaven today. But I know this, I know what the love of God did in his heart. The love of God changed my brother's heart from hating me to loving me. And I don't mean in just a casual way, dear friend. He and I, in fact, both of these, my brothers and I, really came close together after we all came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now listen, we don't have to argue. We don't have to quibble about this. We don't have to go into the circumstances and the situations. It's just simply laid out for us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And I believe this word brother also can be used as far as a brother in Christ is concerned. How many times you find people in church that are at odds one with another? And I mean, those situations can really quench the Holy Spirit of God. You heard that little funny quote, did you not, that there were two songs being sung in the same church at the same time. On one side of the church, they were singing, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? And on the other side, they were singing, No, Not One. And dear friend, I don't say that we'll always agree with everybody. Personalities are different. There are some people that we get along with better than we do others. But when it comes to this matter of hatred, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For here's the reason. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Boy, that's a good question, is it not? And we'll finish with this verse 21, the last verse of this chapter, and this commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Well, I have heard the same thing you've heard. I love him, but I don't like him. I know where you're coming from, dear friend, but we better be sure that we're not lying to God, for God knows the truth of our hearts. And remember, there's going to come a day when the counsels of our hearts are going to be made manifest before God. There's very few problems in homes, in churches, and in businesses that could not be solved, in schools as well, that could not be solved with simply the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself says in John chapter 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Well, dear friend, let's demonstrate that love that God has given to us by returning this love to him, by being obedient to him, by being sure if at all possible we're going to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this coming Lord's Day, and we're going to be encouraging others to be there as well. We'll seek to share the gospel and pray for others, pray for one another, enjoy the good songs of Zion and the good fellowship of God's people. If you're not able to attend, you have access to the internet. Let me invite you to join us for services with us on the internet at www.kbcc.org. calbat.org. That's www.calbat.org. Or if you have access to Roku. In the meantime, hope to see you in a good Bible-believing church, and please join us next broadcast if you can.